As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Leafs Nation Postgame with Cord Stellick and Todd Halushko. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today. Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Picks the puck up at center. Straight down the middle of the ice with speed. Deeks backhand. Stopped by Reimer! Puck lays in the goal crease. And the Maple Leafs have rallied here in a shootout to win it by a score of 3-2.
Joe Bowen with the call. That was it. The final save on Lee Stempniak. And don't Toronto Maple Leaf fans remember him coming in the New Jersey Devils? James Reimer with the save. The Toronto Maple Leafs, 3-2 winners in a shootout tonight over the New Jersey Devils. We welcome you to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Halushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. So a lot of things to cover on the night that began with honoring the 40th anniversary of Darryl Sittler's 10-point record-setting NHL game. The game we will talk about as well. We'll welcome your phone calls, 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. We'll hear from Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock. And also, we want to remind everyone to stay tuned for the Direct Energy play of the game coming up in a few minutes in the postgame show, brought to you by Direct Energy, providing solutions for Canadian businesses. Well, walking to the subway tonight, Todd Halushko, as we leave the game, the excitement all comes at the end.
Well, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't have thought by the end of the game these two teams would have had a combined total of 73 shots on goal. Wow. The way the game started. I mean, Jersey and Toronto have had a tough time putting that many pucks on net all year. So, entertaining game, nonetheless. I mean, it played out that way again, right? A late period, a late goal in the third to tie it up. The third period started a little tentatively, both teams on their heels, feeling their way through the third period. And then, Jersey gets a goal. Toronto pulls a goalie early. Mike Babcock pulls him early with 2 minutes left to go, which I was tapping you in the shoulder. I go, he's already got the goalie out of the net, which seems to be the thing to do nowadays. Yeah. Give yourself a little bit more time. And I'll tell you what, to see Tyler Bozak, he's been money all night. I mean, we'll talk about him as we go on in the evening, but he was 80% in the faceoffs tonight. Just ridiculous. And that tying goal was all set up by him on a perfect draw. In the offensive zone, he wins the draw, then he slides into the slot, just getting away from the defenders a little bit. And then what do you say about Peter Holland? He just throws a beautiful saucer pass to Bozak, and then Bozak just hammers it top cheese. I mean, it was a thing of beauty, that whole goal, and sending it to the overtime, nothing there. And then in the shootout, another. That was some nice shots. Great shot by P.A. Parent.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if you want to have something to say, nothing to say, you want something to say about Peter Holland or anybody else, 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. We also have a busy night on the out-of-town scoreboard. We'll talk about the 11 other games. Yes, 11 other games going on around the National Hockey League tonight. And two nights in a row now, post-All-Star game. Leafs down by two goals to the Boston Bruins, come back, tie, win that game in overtime, down by one goal, and then one goal again to the New Jersey Devils, mm-hmm. come back. When I say it's a common theme, I know it's just a couple of games, but a lot more of those positives that hadn't been so prevalent for about a couple of weeks just before the All-Star break have been back for these two games.
Well, I know they've been playing really well. I mean, that's sometimes coming back from an All-Star break, that's what you get. You get a team that gets refocused, re-energized, and comes out and plays a solid game. And I mean, you know, these are two come from behind games. I mean, that's that's a rarity for that to happen. Not just with the Toronto Maple Leafs, but nowadays in National Hockey, to come back two games in a row from behind. But you know, Gord, the one thing I did want to say is, you know, I wrote it down. I didn't know if Toronto was going to make the comeback. I didn't know if they were going to tie it up. But I wrote down with about 4 minutes left in the game, James Reimer made a fantastic save, a reaction save on Jordan Tootoo. The puck. was dumped in. It came off the back partition of the glass and took a funny bounce in front. And James Reimer, there's a little bit of a scramble, and then there was a loose puck, and Tutu jumped on it, and Reimer kicked out his left leg to make a, basically, what ended up being a game-saving save. Had he not done that, it was 3-1, the game was over. But I marked that down, I go, if they come back to tie the game, that is the reason why. It was an unbelievable, timely save, and that's what James Reimer has been giving them since he's got healthy.
Well, tell you what, let's take a break so we don't miss Mike Babcock live. We will take a break. Come back. There is joy at Air Canada Centre once again, like old times. Air 3-2 over a shootout victory over the New Jersey Devils. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Brought back the other way by Stepniak. Pass into the slot! Glove by Reimer! Oh, that's a game-saving save right there by the Rye Minister of Defense.
The Rye Minister. I think Joe Bowen's had a few Rye Ministers in his day as well, but the Rye Minister of Defense, James Reimer, a big save. Leafs are outshot. Leafs outshot New Jersey 39-34. All important. Beat them in a shootout tonight, 3-2. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. If you want to try to squeeze a call or two in before we hear from Leaf head coach Mike Babcock, again, we'll open the lines at 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. We'll get you, of course, a summary of all that happened tonight. But some milestones for starters. Mike Babcock's 1,000th career NHL game as head coach. It was the 800th career game for Dion Phaneuf, 700th career game for Joffrey Lupul, and 300th career game for Nazem Kadri. I don't know what the odds of that would be. They'd be pretty significant anyway. And those were among the milestones on top of the night for Daryl Sittler.
2,800 games between the four of those guys. That's a lot of hockey games. But nonetheless, I mean, Mike Babcock, I'm sure he's going to savor his 1,000th game and that being a win. Joffrey Lupul, 700 games. Dion Phaneuf, 800. I mean, that's all impressive. And Nazem Kadri just getting his career going with 300. But I'll tell you what, one of those games tonight that just, you know, the first little bit didn't really come across like it was going to be that exciting. And it seemed, again, they're sitting back on their heels a little bit, trying to figure each other out. And all of a sudden, the floodgates opened up near the end of the third period and into overtime. I mean, an exciting game again, and the Toronto Maple Leaf fans go home happy once again.
Let's hear from Terry in Cambridge. Hey, Terry.
Hey, guys. It's just impressive that this team that we have this year seems to have the I don't give it up attitude like we've had in the past. Last couple of games especially, like we've been down a couple with Boston, and it was just, I don't know, I kind of seen some tenacity with a team that they're just not going to cave in on it anymore, you know, despite the fact that the teams where it's at in the league, in the standings. But that doesn't seem to rub off anymore. And I'm wondering if, a change of chemistry and coaching and the head-ups there has had a good difference on it. And it's going to be a better place down the road because it just seems to show that way. But who knows what it has to do with right now. It's good. What do you think?
Thanks for the call, Terry. You know, Gord, I think that one of the things that's going on right now, it's been a culture that's been instilled here. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, this is a team now that I agree with the caller. They're not giving up. And that's what you want to see as a fan of the Leafs. Again, you can't put high expectations on this team right now. They still, you know, they've got a long ways to go. And there's still a lack of skill set in this lineup that hopefully is going to be coming up through the minors and through draft picks. But in the time being, you know, Mike Babcock's got to work with what he has, and what he has instilled in this team is a solid work ethic that doesn't give up. And that has been proof in the pudding pretty much the entire year. There's been maybe two or three games that it's been a bit of a blowout, but for the majority of the season, even though they do have a losing record, they're keeping games close, and they're trying to get that, you know, within a grasp to get that point or that extra point. This team is a different attitude in that dressing room. And I was talking with Mike Zeisberger between periods, and he was saying the same thing, just going, you know what? They may not be the most entertaining team at times, but at least they're keeping it close, and they don't quit. And I agree with the caller 100%. And that's all you can ask from this group of guys right now.
Well, and it got, you know, and again, I talked to a prominent NHL alumni member, or Leaf alumni member, a couple times, and just he's close to the scene here. And just mentioned as well how last year, never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like what happened in the second half. Basically, it became a drop-in center. It was absurd. And actually, it really was absurd at times. So in to get this kind of culture or discipline, whatever, I concur, but also the bar was so ridiculously low.
Yep.
And even a little thing like seeing the team orchestrated, organized to do the post-game salute when they win. I mean, man, you think about that last year and all that was off the tracks that way. So certainly it's – and Nazem Kadri, I interviewed him during the first intermission.
Yep.
And, of course, Lou Lamoriello's line about he'd like to be in a foxhole with Nazem Kadri. Nazem is a guy that has embraced the discipline, embraced all that's about it, and thrived to a degree. And we can't get carried away about going overboard that we're talking Stanley Cup or anything, but at least the framework is. Here's head coach Mike Babcock.
So it was really good to see him bounce back. You know, I mean, he scored a big goal for us, but I thought he had the puck all night tonight and was good. And so, to me, he's improved defensively drastically, carries the puck more than he did, and I think is harder to play against. I still think that he can get way better, and we need him to be consistently competitive like he was tonight. And when he does that, he's a real good face-off guy, and he's got great instincts, and he's got good hockey sense. So
to have so many close ones go against you, can you talk about the character value of a game where you're down, come back, have a couple of calls go against you, late goal, win, shootout?
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, obviously it's nice to win now. I mean, if you look at both teams tonight, didn't look like anybody was going to score. Although, I mean, you know what I mean? It's just a clog fest or whatever you want to call it. You know, I thought we had opportunities. I didn't think we finished. We don't finish great in general. You know, you watch our power play. We get good chances on our power play. Don't always finish on our power play. But, you know, just in general, is most of the games we play are usually pretty tight. And for a while there, when I think we first lost James, we were just hoping to be in the game. And now we seem to get our confidence back this last while. I know we lost in Tampa 1-0, but I thought we played well that night too. So now suddenly we got points in quite a few games here. And so we seem to get a little more confidence back.
A lot of guys celebrating milestones tonight, including yourself. Yeah. Does getting that extra point just put the icing on the cake so that when you look back and think of your 1,000th game, you don't go, oh, yeah, but we lost?
No, I mean, you know, like, don't get me wrong, I'm proud that it's my 1,000th game. I'm proud for Dion. I think Loops tonight was 700, I think Naz. So you go through all those things, you're proud of that. But to me, you know, you just want to win the game. Like, it's the day, it's the game you're playing, you want to win. And so, no.
Mike, that's 1,000. You talked about that this morning. You think you have another 1,000 in you?
Well, I got this year and 7 more here, and then I'm going to stay for 2 more because the team's going to be that good.
So that's a yes.
Yeah. See you guys.
Thank you.
Well, how about it? First of all, clog fest. That sounds like my diet lately. As he is chatting about what's going on with the Toronto Maple Leaf team, but then at the end, what an answer! 8 years, I'll stay 2 more.
Not bad.
So having some fun tonight. His 1,000th game as an NHL head coach, and Mike Babcock makes it a win.
Yeah, no, I think he's you know, he's not sugarcoating it at all. I think this really means a lot to him. I mean, for 1,000 games of coach, and, you know, with all the other milestones that the other guys are making, it was, you know, you're not going to forget about it. It's something special. And the fact that they did win and the way they won tonight in a comeback, I mean, I think that's special for everyone. I think deep down, Mike Babcock is going home with a big smile on his face, you know, thinking about how he did get get the win tonight on his 1,000th game. So, you know, good for him. Good for all the guys making the milestones tonight.
Well, it's time now for the Direct Energy Play of the Game, brought to you by Direct Energy, providing energy solutions for Canadian businesses. And here it was. He talked about Tyler Bozak's play. We'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. Leafs are down 2-1 late in regulation time, and here's our play of the game.
Draw one by Toronto. Phaneuf down into the far half boards for Holland. A centering pass. Scores! Tyler Bozak! He one-timed it perfectly and ties the game at twos.
Joe Bowen, you got to love the call. Play of the game, and that was exactly it. Tyler Bozak, was it, Matt? His first goal in 13 games? 16 games. First goal in 16 games for Tyler Bozak. And you heard starting Mike Babcock's remarks, Todd Alushko, about, a lot of things he expects from him. Thinks he can, says he has got better, expects him to get better, even more better defense, you name it, a ton of things. He's kind of been the forgotten guy with Nazem Kadri's ascent or notoriety the first half of the season.
Well, they've been trying to figure out like where Tyler Bozak fits in the grand scheme of things. I think down the road, is he a guy that's going to be dealt? Is he a guy that they plan on keeping around in the organization? And I mean, if he continues to play like he did tonight, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, he was the man tonight. Face-offs were incredible. Setting himself up for the game tire was so nice. In overtime, he had a bunch of chances and was creating offense. He's a good player. I mean, Tyler Bozak has never really had a crazy bad stretch in his career. I think he's a little bit sometimes underrated and doesn't get the notoriety that he deserves. But, you know, tonight was a demonstration of the skill set that this guy has and the type of player that he can be when he's playing at the top of his game.
Well, now it is time as we get all our orders of business out of the way. Tip Top Tailor Player of the Game, brought to you by Tip Top Tailors, your menswear shop. And you got a few to pick from, Todd Alushko, this time.
Well, there is. I was going to give it to you with that clog comment because I did like your clog diet. That was pretty good. But
yeah, I got to straighten out a bit.
Anyway. we both do, trust me. You know, there was a couple guys that I could have went with tonight, but I thought that the whole game in general, Morgan Riley played a really, really tremendous game in the back end. I mean, it's pretty simple to give it to Tyler Bozak the way he played it, and I will definitely give him an honorable mention. But I thought Morgan Riley, from the start of the game to the end of the game, was controlling the puck, got a lot of power play time, penalty kill, 5-on-5. Little things that you didn't see, maybe not on the scoreboard like Bozak is, but I just thought that Morgan Riley is evolving into the defense. Every single time I see him play, he just keeps getting better and better and better out there. And tonight, I thought he played another tremendous game. So Morgan Riley is my tip-top player of the game.
Yeah, from Tip Top Tailors, your menswear shop, and certainly you really see a difference as well compared to Luke Shen coming with all that hype and never really getting to that next level. And, you know, maybe he'll get to it playing now with the Los Angeles Kings to change the scenery there. But Morgan Riley, after starting, being banished in the press box his rookie year early on a ton by Randy Carlyle as a healthy scratch, you've seen way more. It's not a knock against Luke. It's just more when you see guys developing or hope they're going to develop, you see it all in Morgan Riley.
And it hasn't stopped. I mean, it's not like you're watching this kid and you're seeing regression at any point of the game, any point of his play. It continues to get better and better, and he continues to have more confidence with the puck. He seems to be controlling the play out there every time he's on the ice. And when things need to be settled down, he knows how to settle the game down as well. So, he played another 24 minutes, just under 25 minutes tonight. That's tops in the Leafs on the Leafs team tonight. And this kid just he keeps impressing me. And there's a lot. And another reason why there's a lot of optimism is because he's a young guy. This is a guy that's drafted from within. This is someone that they've wanted to groom for a long time. And the fact that he had to sit out a couple games and maybe not play as much this year. Mike Babcock had him not in the power play as much. Again, this is all a learning curve for him. And I think that the teaching that's going on right now, that has been going on for the past couple of years with Morgan Riley, is really starting to pay dividends. And you're seeing a guy that's going to be a you know, perennial all-star for years to come with this organization.
Well, we'll come back, talk about Morgan Riley and much, much more. The Toronto Maple Leafs 3-2 shootout winners over the New Jersey Devils. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Winter has its challenges. It also has its rewards. Acura's winter-driven sales event is on. Get into the 2016 MDX with super handling all-wheel drive, Acura Watch safety system, and remote engine starter and receive a limited-time $4,000 winter-driven credit on select 2016 MDX models. Reward yourself this winter with an Acura. Hurry. Offers end February 29th. See AcuraGTA.ca for details or visit your local GTA Acura dealer.
Hello, Alpine Credits.
Hello, I own my home and I need to borrow money.
Approved.
For some home improvement.
Oh, good one. Approved.
Can I get that approved pronto?
Approved-a-lutely in under 24 hours.
Approved-erful.
Approvaless.
Own your own home? At Alpine Credits, we try to approve all home equity loan applications, regardless of your credit, age, or income. Alpine Credits. Homeowners get approved. Visit alpinecredits.ca. Fiscal license 12616 and 12617.
Rogers knows that when it comes to the internet, you need the perfect package that's right for your family. With Rogers Ignite, you can choose the speed and data you need. And with unlimited usage options, the whole family can stream, download, and explore as much as they want on all their devices, all on the network that delivers the fastest internet speeds to your home. For light internet users, get online for less than you think with Rogers Internet 5 for the everyday low price of $24.99 a month, plus modem rental or purchase. Call 1-888-ROGERS-1 today.
Hi, I'm Gord Stellick. Join me at the 2016 Rogers Conn Smythe Sports Celebrity Dinner and Auction in support of Easter Seals Ontario. Join me and Brian Burke, Jim Barker, Wendell Clark, Heather Moyes, Bill Daly, and James Hinchcliffe as we honor Cliff Fletcher with the Conn Smythe Lifetime Sports Achievement Award for the significant contribution he's made to Canadian sports. Support Easter Seals kids and take care in Canada's best and largest sports memorabilia auction. Join MCs Greg Zahn and Jamie Campbell and me at the Rogers Conn Smythe Dinner February 17th. Tickets at ConnSmytheDinner.com.
The game is the meal. We're the after-dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Right-handed shooting P.A. Parenteau. Slowly to the blue line, settling the puck down. Top of the circles. Deke shoots. Rifle it into the top corner. Over the catching hand of Kincaid. And the Leafs have their first shootout goal.
That's all they needed. P.A. Parenteau getting the lone shootout goal. Leafs 3-2 shootout victors over the New Jersey Devils. Welcoming you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. And joining us from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, our man Chris Johnson. And, you know, Chris, P.A. Parenteau, and was it Peter Holland as well? And it's kind of like Tyler Bozak was the shootout guy. And they've added a couple guys that are rather proficient at shootouts led by P.A. Parenteau.
They have. And, you know, Tyler has actually had a bit of a tough year. He's been one of the league's best the last number of seasons. But, you know, I wonder if, you know, teams are certainly doing a lot more scouting on these things. And I wonder if that could be an element for Tyler, because certainly if you see him in games, you know, there's been a number of breakaway situations he's had over the years. And he's pretty money in those. But, you know, the shootout, there can be some of the scouting, I think, that might be helping out, because, you know, he's been our best. But right now, P.A. Parenteau probably holds that title.
Chris, what was going on tonight? Were the guys drinking something in the water? 73 combined shots from the Leafs and Devils. That's something that you wouldn't have thought was going to happen tonight, would you?
Definitely not. And, you know, especially for the Leafs to get up to 39 is a surprise, because, you know, the Devils still, they're not quite the old trapping Devils that they kind of have the reputation for, but they certainly are one of the better shot suppression teams. They don't give up a ton of scoring chances. And, you know, tonight I think some of what the Leafs were doing was coming from the outside. It wasn't like the sort of evening where Keith Kincaid had to have the game of his life just to get his team a point. But, you know, there was a little bit more, I don't know if it's offense, but you know, it's two kind of quickish teams, and you know, they did trade some offensive opportunities. And I'll tell you, it wasn't as bad as some Leaf-Devil games I've witnessed in the past, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, how did you rate, like, I mean, interest, Leafs had three shots in the first minute. The ebbs and flows, like, how did you look at the 60 minutes as far as advantage went?
I thought Toronto had a little edge in the play there and throughout the game, and certainly did well, especially after going down the third period. You kind of wondered if they have that push to be able to come back. And, they had a bit of an offensive outburst the other night in Boston. But, as we all know, goals have been difficult to come by. So, that was a nice victory for the guys, and maybe starting to see some signs here that they're pulling out of the funk they were in when I believe they'd lost 9 of 10 prior to winning these last two. So it's been a very tough stretch for the Leafs. And, really to me, James Reimer's strong season continues where, they go down pretty early in the game on that power play goal. And, he's had to kind of not let too many more get behind him just because we do know that you can't count on a lot of offense. So, I thought it was a pretty good effort all in all for the Leafs and, a nice one with so many of them celebrating the milestones here tonight.
Chris, Mike Babcock was talking about Tyler Bozak in his press conference, just saying that he expects a lot out of him, and he's one of the top guys on this team, and he's got to play that way. And I think Tyler Bozak showed that tonight. I mean, he was unbelievable on the faceoff circle, 80% on the faceoff draws tonight, which obviously was a huge part in the game tying goal, where he won it back and he gets in the slot, and Peter Holland throws a beautiful sauce pass to tie it, at two. Is this the type of game? Is this what? But Bozak has to do on a consistent basis to make the Toronto Maple Leaf brass and Mike Babcock and everyone else to think that this is a guy that we are going to move forward with and he won't be on the trade block. Like, they need this type of performance from Tyler Bozak on a consistent basis, do they not?
Well, and really to compete. I mean, beyond Nazem Kadri, they don't have a ton of options for offense at center. So, Bozak has been in a bit of a prolonged slump here, and probably not a coincidence, and it coincides with that same scoring slump the team in general has been producing. And, they just need any of these guys that have some of that sort of ability to be able to deliver it. And, Mike Babcock was pretty plain after the game when asked about Bozak and just saying that, that he needed to be better and that was far more of what they're hoping for him. And, I think there still is another level for Tyler Bozak. I'd say all in all, to be honest, and viewing the big picture, he's had a pretty good year, given that most thought that he relied pretty heavily on playing with Phil Kessel to get his points. I think he's he's kind of quieted that talk a little bit, and certainly had a good stretch kind of about a month or so ago where he was racking up a lot of points. But he's got to get back to that, because on a team with so little scoring, and with James Van Riems back out long term, he's one of the ones expected to contribute to offensively.
There were so many people that Todd Lushko could pick for the tip-top Taylor player of the game. He picked Morgan Riley, and that you can't quibble with that pick. I just look at the ice time Leo Komarov got, 20 minutes, 57 seconds, killing a lot of penalties, doing a little bit of everything. It was picking up from his all-star appearance.
It was, and, he's really, made the most of that opportunity that he's been given here. I mean, there aren't a ton of teams for the league, I think, that would be so willing to play him, right up and down the lineup. But it's been working out well for Leo Komarov. And, he's another one who had a prolonged scoring slump, heading into Nashville. And maybe he can provide a little bit more offense coming out of it. But, I think it was going to be an interesting couple weeks for him because, in speaking with Leo, I get the feeling that he doesn't really know what his future is here. And that doesn't mean bad things, but he can't be certain he's not going to be traded before February 29th. And I think it's an interesting decision for Leafs management. I'm of the personal belief that he gives you enough defensively that even though I think we can all agree this is probably a bit of an outlier season for how much offense he has been able to provide, that he's still a useful player. But, I think that these are going to be a nervy couple weeks for him, and certainly not alone among other players in the dressing room as that trade deadline gets closer.
Chris, myself and Gord were actually discussing that exact topic, with about 5 minutes left in the third period. I said, is there something out there that would make you say, okay, yeah, we'll give you Leo Komarov? Or is this a type of player? I mean, he's not an old guy. He comes to the rink every single day. And you do need players in your lineup that have character and drive the way that Leo Komarov plays. Does it make, really any sense to go and say, okay, all of a sudden someone comes up and they offer you a first-round pick, but it's like in the 20th or 21st pick? Is that of value? Or would you, if you're the GM, would you say that's not enough and we've got a really good, solid role player, can play in all sorts of different situations for us? is it worth giving up a guy like that who has been showing he can play and how valuable he is to this organization? Or do you give it up for a measly first round or a late first pick that you never know what's going to happen?
Well, you're kind of highlighting the difference between some old school thinking and new school thinking. And, you know, I don't think there is a right answer. And you know, if you could get a first round pick for him, I think it's something you at least have to consider and talk about. I mean, there's some merit there. I mean, not many teams, frankly, in this day and age, if you look back, are giving up first round picks and trades. I mean, there's maybe one or two a year. I remember David Perron got one last year at Edmonton when he was traded to Pittsburgh. The Andre Sequeira deal from Carolina to LA involved a first round pick, but there's really not a lot of them. So if the Leafs could get one of those, I think they would have to discuss it. But you know, here's the flip side, Todd, and I think this is kind of what you're hitting at, is that, you know, Will Komarov's busted his butt for this team. He's one of the most popular players in the dressing room. I don't think, based on, you know, what we know his skill set to be, that there could be any more expectations for his performance. He's logging tough minutes and bringing it every night during a season where, frankly, the Leafs have not won many games, where it hasn't been easy to play. And look, I know he's being paid well and he's in the National Hockey League, but what I mean is that he's doing the things that this organization wants to see and getting some good habits back into that dressing room, even though they're a little bit under-talented compared to, you know, most of the league at this point. And, you know, do you really want to – what kind of message are you sending in the bigger picture, if you throw that guy overboard? So I think that has to be considered. And, it's tough to predict, you know, where Lou Lamoriello falls on that scale. I mean, we just haven't seen enough out of him since he's come to Toronto. And obviously, the way he operated when he was the GM of the Devils is going to be different than here. There's more collaborative team approach. I mean, he's in charge of those moves, but, you know, I think that there's more voices involved in that decision. And, you know, that's what I'm interested to see, is how they approach this deadline, just to get a better sense of how they're operating and viewing these type of things. Because, I don't believe there's a right answer, but there should be healthy debate about that in the front office of a rebuilding team.
Yeah, no, I think you're great. I just, as just from an outsider looking in and playing the game, and I know when I had a guy on my team that was a heart and soul player like Leo Komarov, I know that they're trying to rebuild for the future. But the players that you have coming in that are already within your organization, I believe you need a guy like Leo Komarov to groom those guys as you move forward as well. And that's the type of commodity that I personally wouldn't give up unless it's a first overall or a second or top 10 pick. But other than that, I think you hang on to Komarov.
Well, and it's funny because I've had players on the Leafs actually say he's the best teammate they've ever had, like at any level of hockey. I mean, like, I don't think we can overstate this guy's popularity, you know, within the dressing room. And as I say, I think he's bringing it on the ice too. So there's a huge number of reasons to keep him. But, you know, we're kind of in this sport. I mean, we're kind of getting into the area where the athletes, I don't think there's quite as much loyalty in general. Yeah. I don't necessarily mean with the Leafs in particular, but, you know, players are viewed more as assets. And, you know, there's probably a flow chart out there that might say if you can trade him for a first round pick, it makes sense.
Chris, always appreciate you joining us. And I know we talked a little while ago, but again, our condolences. I know your mom passed away. It's been a tough Christmas and go and all that stuff. We had a nice email exchange about how proud you were, how proud she was of you. And we certainly welcome you back, but we want to offer that on behalf of all of us up here.
Well, I appreciate that, Gordon, Todd. And yeah, it's my family and I appreciate your sentiments.
Okay. Well, we'll catch you soon. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Okay. Thanks guys.
Chris Johnson joining us, Sportsnet.ca. And, interesting your chat about Komarov. Now, by the way, we got so many things to cover here that it was – well, so that goal got upheld, didn't it? Or did he win the protest on the goal, Boudreau, one of them, or that? Anyway, it didn't. Okay. It looked like he was happy about it. But anyway, I guess he tried the challenge. But Anaheim had a 3-0 lead. Now it's 3-1. The Kings have scored. So we got a whack of out-of-town scores that we're going to give you shortly, 11 other games around the National Hockey League. So we'll take that break, and we will come back and give you that out-of-town scores and much, much more. We'll hear from James Reimer and some of the other usual suspects in a 3-2 Toronto Maple Leaf win in shootout over the New Jersey Devils. Gord Stelic, Todd Olushko. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
It's your postgame workout. You're listening to Leafs.
Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Brought back the other way by Stepniak. Pass into the slot! Glove by Reimer! Oh, that's a game-saving save right there by the Rhine Minister of Defense.
But James Reimer making, let's see, one of his 32 saves he made. How about that tonight? Leafs outshot New Jersey 39-34. 3-2 shootout winners over the New Jersey Devils. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Terry Koshin joining us momentarily. Just look at the summary of tonight's game. And you see that it was Josefsson on the power play for the Devils, opened the scoring at the 4:16 mark from Schlemko and Zajac.
Yeah, no, it was a the first goal. I mean, it was a loose. Basically, what happened was the Leafs lose a draw, and Travis Zajac gets a puck back to Schlemko, who goes D to D to Josefsson, and he skates into the top of the circles and finds a hole on Reimer. He makes it 1-0 Devils. I mean, it was a goal that probably Reimer, if he looks at it again, is going to think, man, I should have had that one.
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so. Well, to the Leafs' credit, because they were off to a good start, and that, you know, kind of soft goal put them down. But at the 8:34 mark, just a little bit, but 4 minutes later, it's Sean Mathias's fifth from Bozak and Parenteau.
Yeah, and this is just as a power play expires for the Leafs, they're really zipping the puck around. They've got the Devils on their toes, and all of a sudden, they end up catching a break as Pia Parenteau makes a cross-crease pass to Sean Mathias. And Sean gets a piece of his stick on it, but the puck continues to go. But ultimately, it goes off the foot of the Devils defenseman, John Moore. And a really nice break for the Leafs. It goes into the back of the net. The Leafs tied it up 1-1.
And the Leafs outshot the Devils 14-11 in that period. Period number two, no scoring. This time, turnabout fair play. The Devils outshot the Leafs 14-11. Then in the third period, we talked about first the Devils. They take the 2-1 lead. David Schlemko, been a real pleasant surprise, chipping in offensively as well from Jelena and Blandisi at the 6:27 mark.
And this is after some sustained pressure in the Leafs zone. I mean, the puck finds its way to the point, and David Schlemko gets it on his stick, and he lets a slap shot go with all kinds of traffic in front of Reimer, and it finds the back of the net. And Mike Babcock thought there may have been a little bit of contact with Reimer, so he challenges it, hoping to get that play reversed and get that goal off the board. But it was upheld, and the call on the ice stood, and the Devils end up going ahead 2-1.
And then we played it as our play of the game. It was our direct energy play of the game, and that was Tyler Bozak at the 17:54 mark, his 10th from Holland, and his first goal in 16 games.
And this is a situation where Tyler Bozak, like you said, he was 80% in his draws. He was absolutely fantastic on this play all around. He ends up getting, he sets up the play, a great draw back to the point. He then gets himself, and he hides away into the high slot, and Peter Holland gets a puck back from Phaneuf on the sidewall. And Holland gives a lot of credit goes to Bozak to getting the shot away. But Peter Holland just sauces just a beautiful pass over a couple of Devils defensemen's sticks. And the puck lands flat. Bozak times it perfectly. And it's a one-timer over top of Kincaid's blocker. I mean, this was all set up by Bozak's draw in the offensive zone.
3-on-3 was entertaining, exciting again. The shots were 3-2 in favor of the Leafs, but nothing was decided there. Came to the shootout, and P.A. Parenteau, the lone scorer in the six shots.
Yeah, he's just money. Every time he goes down, there's a high quality chance that it's going to go in. And P.A. Parenteau goes in, gets on his forehand side, comes on his left-hand side, so he's got his right-hand shot ready, and zips a beautiful shot over the top of Kincaid's shoulder. Really no chance for the goaltender, and the absolute perfect shot for P.A. Parenteau, and that ends up being the game-winning goal.
Well, like you said, that was it, the game-winner in a shootout, and a little feisty in some of the out-of-town scores we'll get to in a little while when you look at the L.A. King-Anaheim Duck game. But, of course, joining Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko, Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Terry Koshin, the thumbs up. You know, thumbs up, too, about games. Just when you are not going to be in the playoffs and you saw before the All-Star break non-compelling games, non-competitive games, it becomes a long, ugly, drudgery-type season that they don't want to go through again. Very encouraging week.
For sure, Gord. The back-to-back wins now for the first time in not quite a month. And, the manner in which they won, too. You erased that two-goal deficit in Boston the other night, and then, you know, you're down a goal here in the third period tonight, and Babcock pulls Reimer, and there's Bozak scoring for the first time in a really long time. So, you know, people out there who are hoping for that Austin Matthews aren't going to want to hear that this is something for the Leafs to build on. You know, still going to have a shot at, I think, at Matthews in some regard when the draft hits, but you know, it puts them in a good frame of mind heading into Ottawa now, a team that got crushed by the Oilers tonight, and into next week into Western Canada.
Montreal is now going after the Austin Matthews sweepstakes. You know that.
So
right?
Is Winnipeg. Everybody in Canada.
The Canadians. I don't know what you can say about that. I mean, the Leaf fans have to be somewhat encouraged by what's going on here, and I would imagine if you're a Montreal Canadiens fan, it's the exact opposite of the realization that your goaltender is that important to your success.
Terry, you had a chance. You know, I read your article on Mike Babcock. You were talking about his 1,000th game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know where I've been. That snuck up on me. I didn't even realize it until I was reading your article. A really good article. But he quoted in there, he goes, I want to be the best coach of my generation.
Right.
And he talks about Joel Quenneville and Daryl Sutter, who's making it really difficult. But what has it been about Mike Babcock that just – I know the things that he's talked about, but what you've seen has made him this good and have this type of success over that amount of time.
Well, I think for, you know, not having seen it up close, of course, in Detroit all those years, we're getting a better idea now, but he just seems to be a guy that really grows as the players change and this sort of thing. The players coming into the game and how you are with them and that adaptability, I think it's so important. The players coming into the NHL now are a lot different than they were when he started in 02 with the Ducks. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody would argue that. And it's the people who can make those changes, adjustments, whatever you want to call them, that will last longer. Of course, success goes part and parcel with that. And people who don't aren't necessarily coaching anymore in the league. And it's, as he keeps saying to us too, you have to have the good players playing for you for the longevity. I know the season's been a rough go for him, even though he knew what was coming. I think every year in Detroit he had more wins, a lot more wins in regulation than he had losses. And that streak will come to an end for him for this year for sure. No end about it. But it's he had a great thing to say after the game. He was asked, do you have another 1,000 in you? And I know you guys have talked about this enough, but, you know, just the way that he answers, you got to respect that confidence of, hey, listen, I have 7 more. And then it'll be 2 more after that because we're going to be that good.
It was good. It was,
I thought, you know, great to hear. And if you're, like I say, if you're a Leaf fan and you know, you have to be, you get through this year and probably next year, maybe starts to turn in the third year, but you have to be encouraged by the man running this thing now. But,
and when you hear that, I mean, that's a confident coach saying there. So if you're a player on there and you don't like what this coach is going, well, you know, there's a statement right there. Yeah. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. So you better buy into whatever he's selling right now.
And they are. They are.
They are, 100%.
For the most part. But they're still, Todd, they're going to be looking around the room between now and February
who's
29th.
Here, who's not.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to figure out which of these guys I'll be getting, making sure that I have their cell phone numbers and all that sort of thing, because quite a few of them will be gone if we think Lou Lamoriello does what he wants to do.
Yes, Gordon and I were talking. We talked to Chris Johnson, and we said, and this is my, I want to ask you, because you watch him every day too. Is Leo Komarov, is it even, like, would you get rid of the guy? I think, to me personally, I think he's so valuable, not only right now, but to the guys that will be coming up over the next couple years, to be able to have a guy like that in the lineup, because you have to have quality people in your lineup, I don't care who you are, to develop these young guys. And to me, that's the type of player that I see could be a part of this for the next 3 or 4 years. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I could see that, but I could also see how the offers might be too tempting for
Lamoriello. What's too tempting?
I don't know. I mean, who knows?
I mean, first-round pick, late, middle? That's what I'm wondering.
No, especially when, you know, they know that they're going to have one, you know, top five at the worst. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting call on him because he's not an expensive player over the next couple of years, and he has been doing good things for this club. And you're right. If the argument is that it's going to take a lot more than Morgan Rielly and a few other people to get this thing going where you want it to, Komarov's a guy that you really have to consider keeping. But I would imagine, too, that, of the phone calls that Lamoriello is going to be taking between now and the 29th, more than a few of them will center on number 47, and it's going to be – an interesting thing to see which way Lamoureux ends up going with that. But I could see the both sides of it. Yes, can he help them going forward? Of course he can. I think he'd be that type of player for them. He has been that type of player for them. Do you hope that maybe this isn't a high peak for him this season, production-wise, and that sort of thing? Of course you do, but, then you also go with the argument that you strike while it's hot and get as much as you can for him.
The player he talked about, and of course Komarov has a cap-friendly contract, which makes him attractive even more. Other teams, Tyler Bozak, not so much. And this is the first time I've really heard Babcock talk that positively about him. It seems like Nazem Kadri's been the poster boy and has really improved that way. And first goal in 16 games for Tyler Bozak. I used to kidding call him the accidental number one centerman because
Fair.
That's not really what he got. It was thrust upon him, and good on him for that way. But what have you made of? Certainly tonight was a bit of a watershed game in the short term. What have you made of his play?
Well, I think his work in the face-off circle has been very commendable. Another one tonight. I mean, you win 24 or 30 draws. That's kind of unheard of in the game today. What do you make of his play overall? Well, you still want to see, and it kind of speaks to the team as a whole, Gord, the productivity at the end of the night, and you're just not seeing it consistently enough. And for the amount of ice time he's getting, I think coming into tonight, it was 17 minutes and 47 seconds a game on average. There has to be more, and there hasn't been. And, like you say, first goal in 16 games, and but he had that hat trick in Colorado, a month or so ago. I guess longer than a month or so ago now. It's middle of December, roughly, and what, two goals since then, I think?
Yeah.
So it's you need more than that period. And, now, listen, I know that goes to a lot of pretty much every guy that there is not named Komarov, but I don't imagine Bozak's going to be one of those players who will be looking for a change of address forms come March 1st.
What do we expect out of this Leaf team now? They got a five-game road trip, not road trip, but they're on the road for the next five games. They're not back here, I think, what is it, till February 18th
tonight?
Or something like
two
that?
Yeah. Tonight, yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to roll into Ottawa. Then they got to go out to go tangle with Connor McDavid, who's just been lighting it up right now. But to get on the road, I mean, this has got to be a confidence thing for them, especially heading on the road. And a game that they really probably wanted to get 2 points out of tonight. So it's going to lead them into something good going on to the road.
Yeah, I think so, Todd. And, the nice thing about this trip coming up, like we say, they're coming home after Ottawa to practice Monday before they go back to Calgary. But these games are spaced out. They're going to get some time with each other. They didn't really have – they kind of had that in Florida last week with their dads, but it didn't really work out the way they wanted it to, of course. But this time they're going to get it. And, it's not going to be easy, of course. You mentioned Connor McDavid and the things he's been capable of doing. And the two games back, I mean, it's like he was never away.
It's unbelievable.
And then, I think the kicker for the Leafs, of course, is that usually you go out west, you do that trip for three games. And, Gord, I don't know if you remember in your time, but you hit Chicago on the way home. I mean, that's on that Monday night
on
Family
right
Day.
There,
yeah,
right?
You're just been, you're coming from I think the last game of that the three gamers in Vancouver, and oh no, you don't get to fly 5 hours home. You get to stop in the Windy City and play the Hawks. So it's going to be difficult. Games away from home always are. But you talk about going into that game in Ottawa with the win tonight and the win on Tuesday. Well, Ottawa is right for the picking right now as well, the way things are going there. And if the Leafs continue to play with this kind of structure and everything they have been under, not kind of, the structure they have been under Babcock, you like their chances of gaining more confidence to win in Ottawa on Saturday night.
And maybe even an opportunity when they head out in Calgary. Brian Burke would be interested in a guy like James Reimer, right? And there's a possibility maybe there's a bit of a showcase. I'd like to see him stay in Toronto. Mm-hmm. But, again, we don't know what they're thinking, what the plans are. But, I mean, a good showing out in Calgary by James Reimer, who knows what's going to happen.
Right. And you know what? I don't even know if he needs that so much right now because he's been doing all the games he's been playing. I mean, he's been doing so well. And, the save percentage being what it is, we'll see where it goes into Ottawa. But it's good. That's the other curious thing about these five games now, they are all spread out. Then you have the six coming home against the Rangers, I think it is, on the 18th. So you don't necessarily have to go to Bernier if Reimer keeps doing what he's doing.
No back-to-backs.
Right, no back-to-back. So the interesting calls for Mike Babcock, but certainly right now he likes what Reimer is doing, and I don't imagine he sees much reason to change that.
Terry, thanks so much. You have to break for the network hour. I could have hung in there. I mean, I was hoping to get some questions in, but Todd's swelled head. He just now post-All-Star. You know, it's a little bit tough. We're fighting it out here. But
well, I figured I'd give you a break. You're under that horse blanket over there, a little bit cold, so I figured I'd just give you a break and I'd ask the questions tonight.
This horse paid the show today.
Todd's come a long way. It's mesmerized. We all need to do it.
Yeah, he's like Tyler Bosa. Come a long way. There's a lot more longer way to go. Well, thanks very much, Terry.
Okay, thanks, Gord.
Terry Koch joining us from the Toronto Sun. He didn't know he was coming to the Todd Olusko roast at the end. But anyway, what the heck? Leafs are winning, so it's always fun when they win. A 3-2 win over the New Jersey Devils tonight in a shootout. As I mentioned to Terry, we're going to be breaking away from the network hour, and we will continue on most of our affiliates, including Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And how's your out-of-town scoreboard look? You got a whack of them. We'll do that when we come back. We'll also play once again. We'll let you know. It's time. We'll have time for the Direct Energy play of the game, brought to you by Direct Energy, providing energy solutions for Canadian businesses. We'll play that as well. And so here a little bit from Tyler Bozak, the aforementioned.
Yep. I like the thoughts from Terry as well. He's on the same page I am, I think, with the Leo Komarov. I don't want to see him go, Gord. I really don't.
No. And were you saying first overall pick or something?
Well, not first. They said in the top, like, 10 picks.
Oh, okay.
Then that's a different ball of wax.
Okay,
but you even said middle range, back, maybe not worth it.
We'll be back. Gord Stelic, Todd Olusko, Leafs Nation. Postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Couldn't have been any more cleaner. It's like the ref threw the puck to Dion Phaneuf from the faceoff dot. He wanted so clean, right back to him. Dion pulls it to the middle, throws it back to the half wall to Peter Holland, and Bozak just gets in the middle and gets his, I call it a back scratcher. You've got your stick up, ready to just hammer it. And Holland just finds him perfectly with a beautiful saucer pass that lands flat right before Bozak takes a slapper to go top cheese over the blocker of Kincaid. And you know, obviously, they needed that goal to take it to overtime, but that was definitely the goal of the game and the play of the game. And Tyler Bozak showed, you know, in that whole play, that was all him. It all started because of the draw that he won back to Dion Phaneuf clean, and he gets himself set up. So, fabulous play. Definitely the play of the game by Tyler Bozak.
Yeah, that was the play of the game for the it was the Direct Energy play of the game, brought to you by Direct Energy, providing energy solutions for Canadian businesses. And before that play of the game and other things happened tonight, it was the 40th anniversary of Darryl Sittler, February 7th, 1976. This is my first year working at in the Maple Leaf Gardens press box part-time. So I was fortunate enough to see the 10-point night. And it's mentioned about a number of former teammates. Earl Thompson's a guy we don't see very often. Mm-hmm. He was there, Tiger Williams, Brian Glennie, the goaltenders, Doug Favell, Gord McRae. Great scene, Jim Gregory, the general manager. Really good scene, Red Kelly, the head coach. They had their cool leather jackets on, and what a night. Wayne Gretzky always talked about it. That was the record he was aware of. He chased it down. I think 8's the most he got on two occasions. Mm-hmm. I never could quite catch it. And Dave Reese has been the consummate great guy about it because
I was great tonight.
Well, people, and unfortunately, it masks that the guy had a real strong run when the Bruins needed a goaltender. The Bruins had goaltending injuries. They arranged and got Jerry Cheevers back from the World Hockey Association midseason, so he just had joined them then. So Reese had really bailed them out of a jam. And the story is he got a few guys took him out to celebrate Friday night in Toronto, so he wasn't exactly feeling 100%, you know what I mean.
He said he was still, he had a couple extra ones, but he said he was good to go, and that had nothing to do with anything away from the 10 points.
No, it doesn't take anything away from it at all. And then it's amazing the one, like he kids about the one going in like slow motion and everything that went.
From behind the net.
What a great, great memory. And Darryl Sittler looks like $1 million out there. And it was great. Someone's seen a lot of the alumni and Dave Reese.
Well, Dave Reese, the nice thing about Dave Reese, he's walking out. He's the only guy in the Bruins jersey, right? Walking beside Darryl, and Darryl brings him up and wants him to drop the puck with him. But here's a guy that tells you a lot about the character of a guy that can come out and celebrate an event that happened against you, where you were a net for all these points that went against you. But the fact for him to come to the ACC to celebrate Darryl Sittler and his accomplishment, especially when he was on the other end of it. That tells you a lot about the character of Mr. Reese. So it was nice to see tonight. He had a big smile on his face, and I think he enjoyed this ceremony as much as Darryl Sittler.
And as we said afterwards, it seemed like the Maple Leafs wanted to get 10 goals early on.
Yep.
They got offense going quite early. Devils struck first, but then and on a little bit of a softie that way. And once again, James Reimer coming up big in goal, and a lot of positives going the Leaf ways. And again, twice in a row coming from behind in the third period to tie a game, sending it in overtime against Boston. It was a two-goal deficit. Against New Jersey, it was a one-goal deficit.
Well, and like we said, the very first goal of the game, Reimer, I'm sure, would have liked to have that one back. But it all comes back. We've talked about what Reimer's been doing. He's been giving this team timely saves. And late in the third period, the Leafs are down by one goal, and Jordan Tootoo has an unbelievable chance to basically bury the game and go up 3-1. And James Reimer comes out with an unbelievable reaction save, a left pad save that goes and stops it from going 3-1. And ultimately, the Leafs are able to tie it up late in the third period and then win it in the shootout.
Well, you mentioned the Ottawa Senators up next. And, of course, we'll have our Hockey Nation show on Saturday, of course, sponsored to you by our GTA Acura dealers as we'll get set for that game. And Edmonton and Connor McDavid having their way with the Ottawa Senators. And I don't know how much bite there is anymore that Toronto Maple Leaf fans enjoy specifically playing the role of spoilers for a team like the Ottawa Senators, because there was a bit of a bite that way. See, mostly Ottawa fans resented Toronto fans being, you know, kind of taken over when they get there. But it'll be an Ottawa team desperately looking for a win. They'll take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll be on the airwaves on Saturday at 5 p.m.
Does Connor McDavid have enough games left to still try to capture the Calder Trophy?
Yes, he does.
You think
yes,
so?
Does. Yep.
Especially if he's on a tear like this.
Oh, yeah.
He really does, doesn't
he? Well, I don't know if it can, but yeah, he certainly does. 3-2. Shootout victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the New Jersey Devils. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelick, Todd Alushko, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.